I have one final question that I have to ask you as we're running out of time. It's a shared passion of ours. I went to space camp as a child, and you have a rocket company.
I knew I liked you right away.
Yeah. So we have so much in common. So
anybody
Blue
who
Origin,
goes to space camp is my kind of person.
Yeah.
That's
don't yeah, that's fine. That's between us too. So your rocket company, Blue Origin, is really taking off, doing well. How do you see that company, you know, evolving in the future of space, anything
you
want to share on Blue Origin?
So, okay, first of all, I love space. I have been a space lover since I was a five-year-old boy. And I feel like I won the lottery with Amazon. I know I won the lottery. And now I'm investing those lottery winnings in Blue Origin, which is the space company. We are flying a suborbital tourism vehicle, and we'll start taking people up hopefully in 2018. That's coming right up. Working on it for more than 10 years. Hopefully, this overnight success is taking longer than 10 years. I don't know. We'll see. You know, and we're also building an orbital vehicle called New Glenn. New Shepard is named after Alan Shepard, the first American in space. He went on a suborbital journey. New Glenn is named after the American hero John Glenn, who was the first American to orbit the Earth. These are reusable boosters, fully reusable. That's the key to lowering the cost. Our vision at Blue Origin is that we want millions of people living and working in space. And my personal hope is that I live long enough to see the kind of dynamism in space. I want to see a whole economy, entrepreneurs in space that I got to witness over the last 20 years on the internet. You know, the problem with being an entrepreneur in the space arena is that the price of admission is so darn high. So it, you know, to do interesting things in space, the beginning, you know, kind of the beginning entry level is a few hundred million dollars. So you're not going to get, you know, two kids in their dorm room doing something amazing in space. Whereas that's literally what happened with Facebook, right? So on the internet, because the price of admission is so low, you can get these amazing experiments where like one kid in a dorm room does something and it turns into Facebook. And, or, you know, Amazon's case, you know, I started this thing with an incredibly small amount of capital and it was able to grow because we didn't need a lot to begin with. The heavy lifting was in place for Amazon, right? So I didn't need to build a transportation network. It existed already. It was UPS and the Royal Mail and the U.S. Postal Service and Deutsche Post and so on and so on. I didn't have to build a telecommunications backbone to connect with my customers. It was there. It was called the internet. And in fact, the internet was resting on top of the long-distance phone network at that time. You guys remember the dial-up modem? Some of you do. Some of you are too young to. Some of you should go to a museum and see a dial-up modem.
What was that sound? And,
yeah. And so, I recently showed a group of youngsters a payphone. I came across one, and I was like, "My God, guys, come over here. This may be the last one. You have to see it." So, you know, the point is that Amazon got to rest on top of, we didn't have to build a payment system. It already existed. It was called the credit card. Computers were already on every desk thanks to, you know, Microsoft, IBM, and Apple. And, you know, but what were they being used for? To play games, not to buy things on Amazon. And so all that heavy lifting was in place. And I want to, you know, my greatest, I would have such a good feeling if I could be an 80-year-old guy and laying there thinking about my life, if I could say, look, there is now a bunch of entrepreneurs in space because I took my Amazon lottery winnings and built the heavy lifting infrastructure that does take billions of dollars in CapEx to lower the cost of access to space. That's how you get millions of people living and working. And by the way, we need that. For those of you who like to think about the future at all, you can do a simple calculation. You know, we can argue about, you know, what limited resources on Earth and so on and so on. But here's a calculation that you cannot argue with, which is you take current baseline energy usage on Earth, compound it at just a few percent a year for just a few hundred years, And you have to cover the entire surface of the Earth in solar cells. So you have to. We're going to have to decide, do we want a society of pioneering, invention, expansion, growth, or do we want a society of stasis? And personally, I believe, because the Earth is finite, and if you want a society of stasis, I think it's going to, first of all, I don't personally believe that stasis is even compatible with freedom, so I think for me that's a big problem. Second of all, it's going to be dull. Stasis is going to be very dull. You don't want to live in the stasis world. And so, of course, we're going to continue to get more efficient, too. We have been. For hundreds of years, we've been getting more productive, more efficient. That trend is going to continue. But even so, we're going to want to use more energy per capita. And also, I don't want a stabilized population. I would love for there to be a trillion humans in the solar system. With a trillion humans, we would have 1,000 Einsteins and 1,000 Mozarts. It'd be an incredible symbol. Don't you want that dynamism? It'd be so much more interesting. This is for your great-great-great-grandchildren, but what kind of world do you want them to live in? I want them to live in that expansive world that is, you know, learning more about the universe and moving out throughout the solar system. So that we have to do it. And anyway, so it's fun to work on that. And, you know, I won so many lotteries in my life. I have the best parents in the world, my mom, Jackie, and my dad, Mike. My mom had me when she was 17 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. She was still in high school. It was not cool. And she did an amazing job. My dad, Mike, is a Cuban immigrant who came here when he was 16 without his parents. Did an amazing job. So those are the things that are your little gifts in life. My greatest admiration, by the way, is withheld for those people, and I know several of them, who had terrible parents and still somehow made it through. That's hard. I had the opposite, so I got lucky.